I'm not even sure that Pastor Zach took a breath in that whole time. I'm just not sure. But it's okay. I mean, I couldn't do that if I tried. So we're talking about building your life on the Bible. Last week and this week, we talked about last week illumination. What does illumination do? We talked about Peter who hadn't caught any fish. And the Lord opened his eyes. Hey, Peter, fish over there. Not only did he catch fish, it changed his life. We also talked about when God opens our eyes, he actually puts barriers to our progress. Paul was heaven-bent on stopping the church. And then Jesus said, wait a minute. And sometimes we don't realize that through the illumination of God's Spirit, he protects us from things to come. We also talked about last week illumination that maybe you don't realize, and these are times when we can feel lonely and that Jesus is with us always. Just like the road to Emmaus. Just like when Jesus showed up in the upper room and scared the other disciples half to death. Jesus had never left them. What is illumination? It's allowing God's Holy Spirit to open our eyes that we might not only see the scriptures, but be able to understand the scriptures. So I was learning about seeing clearly this week. I was at a conference in Nebraska on Monday. My good friend Gary was the speaker of the conference, and this last year, Gary literally went blind. And so we were having lunch together before he was going to speak in a main session, and he said, gosh, I kind of need to go to the bathroom. I'm like, well, okay. His wife said, I said, I'll take you. And so I'm walking Gary to the bathroom, his arms in mine. I've never been given instruction on what to do. Now I know. You tilt your arm back, he skinnies up. You turn your hand this way or that way, and he'll go to the left or the right. I knew none of this. I'm walking Gary. We're laughing. I'm like, how far do you want me to take you into the bathroom? I'm going to stop at some point, and you got to go. And we're laughing. And so I go to open the bathroom door. He doesn't realize I stop. All of a sudden, I hear this. Gary hit the corner of the wall. Now above his eye, it's open, and he's bleeding. He's like, is it okay? I'm like, I'm so thankful he can't see. I'm thinking, oh, no. So I go into the bathroom, and there's blood on the ground. There's blood. I'm like trying to compress this, and I mean, it's awful. Then I thought, well, the reason we're here, I've got to get him to the wall unit, and so I'm trying to, keep an eye. I mean, I'm just going, oh, no, this is terrible. And so he's there, and then a guy comes in. I'm just watching my friend. Well, I mean, and he goes, but do you guys need a minute? No! I don't need a minute. He's blind. I walked him into the wall. He's bleeding, and, I mean, it was terrible. And then you think, can it get any worse? Yeah, I have to go back to the table. And I tried to say it nice. Joneel, Gary and I had a little accident. What do you mean an accident? Then he's there, he's got this big patch on his eye. And she takes off, she goes, oh no, I think you need stitches. I'm like, oh, Jim, this is one of my best friends, or at least he used to be. And, he's got to speak at this conference and, I don't want him to go get stitches, and so kind of did a butterfly bandage and kind of put him back together. Well, the long and short of it, Gary's still alive. He did well at the conference, but I learned something about illumination. I learned something about when you and I look at the Word of God and it looks like we're blind. I told Gary, by the way, I said, Gary, I appreciate this happening because this is how I'm going to start my sermon. He goes, you mean, Jim, like I'm your sermon illustration? I said, yeah, you paid a price, but I think the church is going to get this. And in terms of illumination, here's what I want you to understand. We're going to be super practical today. The Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, wants to open our eyes. He wants to open our eyes. He wants to remove the blinders so that we not only read the Bible, but we can understand it. And why do we want to understand it? So it applies to our daily lives. Here's a couple of guidelines I want to give you, kind of the direction that the Holy Spirit can help you and help me be able to understand the Word of God and not be whacked so hard with the things in life. The first one is this, and I would say this is pretty obvious, but I want to say it anyway. I must begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the reality is this. I don't want to say it in a negative way, but this is how it is. You're blind. You don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. There's no way the Holy Spirit can live within you. Therefore, there's no way that He can illuminate to you the Scriptures. So you have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You have to accept what He did for you on the cross, that He died to become your Savior. This is what Paul wrote to the church of Corinth. The devil who rules this world has blinded the mind of those who do not believe. They cannot see the light of the good news. So if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're never going to be able to see the Word of God for more than basically information. You say, well, I don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We'll talk about that and we'll settle that issue at the end of the service. Jesus actually died in your place so you could have life and not just have life, but have it abundantly. But we have to accept Him. The reality is, I didn't understand the Scriptures, and neither did anybody in here who claims to have a relationship with Jesus Christ until we stepped over that line and said, I accept what You've done for me. Not only that, I'm going to let You be the CEO of my life. I'm going to let Your words guide me. I'm not only going to hear them, I'm going to trust them, and I'm going to do the best I can to apply them. Makes a big difference. Here's what else Paul wrote to the church of Corinth. The man without the Spirit, meaning they haven't accepted the Lord, does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him and he can't understand them. Do you see what that's saying? If we've never accepted Jesus, we don't understand the principles of God. And things seem foolish to them. Like praying. I don't pray because I'm weak necessarily. I pray because He's strong. Like saying, I'm not going to do certain things because I know the end of those things isn't a place where I want to go. People say, well, you know, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Well, that's a good Epicurean philosophy, but the reality is, tomorrow when I die, I'm going to stand and have to give account to the Creator. But if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, you don't understand these things. They're foolish. They can't understand them because they are not spiritually discerned. In other words, God, I need You to open my eyes because in reality, without You, I'm blind. Here's one more thing that I want to mention to you. Then after that, we're going to do something kind of fun today. I'm kind of opening up. Pastor Kevin is going to share a little bit, and then Pastor Zach's going to kind of wrap things up. I can't get my eyes opened. There is not illumination if my mind and life is full of junk. This is what the Scripture says. Jesus was speaking, and He said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. You're not going to be able to see the things of God if there are so many things that are blocking your vision. Let me pause here and say, nowhere in Scripture does it say you have to be perfect. If we had to be perfect for the Spirit to illuminate our lives, none of us would get in. None of us would be qualified for that because we're not perfect. None of us are perfect, but purity doesn't mean perfect. It's basically saying here, if I fill my mind and I fill my life with garbage, whether it's what we read, whether it's what we look at, whether it's how we live, there's junk filling me. I'm not going to be able to see like the Lord wants me to see. There's no way I can do what this world says is fine and have God speaking to me. The scriptures are super clear about how to live an abundant life. I think it's tomorrow, those of you who are reading the 40 days in the Word with us, I think it's tomorrow you're going to read about the Spirit leading us into truth. You're also going to read that we're branches, and the Lord's the vine. When we separate ourselves from the vine, we're not going to grow. And in a pastor's world, here's how I was taught. Jim, there's three things you need to be careful of, period. Any pastor who ever fell away from the Lord, they said, Jim, there's three things. Don't mess with God's gold. Don't be stealing from the church. Don't mess with God's girls. It'll destroy you. And don't mess with God's glory. I've never forgotten that. Don't mess with the gold. Live in accountability with that. And of course, our church does. Don't mess with the glory. We read that recently, right? In John, that the leaders of that day, they loved the praises of men. And because of that, they didn't hear from God. Now, I'm not going to sit up here and try to name every single sin that we can commit, because that's not my purpose today. My purpose today is to say this. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're a step closer to having the scriptures illuminated. If you, between you and God, have made yourself right. And I used to have people ask me, hey, Pastor Jim, can I do this? Hey, Pastor Jim, can I go to Vegas? Hey, Pastor Jim, can I do this? I'm like, why are you asking me? I'm not, you know, I don't want to be your supervisor. Here's the question you need to ask, and it'll clear it all up. Would you do what you were doing with the Lord Jesus standing right next to you looking on to whatever you're doing? If you can answer a truthful yes to that, then you're fine. If you can't answer yes to that, well, then here's what's going to happen. You're going to have your vision blocked. And so when you're trying to read the Bible and trying to learn, you're not going to be able to do it in the way that God would have you to do it. And I'm excited because God said, I want you to be pure in heart. Don't be perfect. None of us are going to be perfect. And every one of us is going to make a mistake along the journey. But we need to own up and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Would you help me and teach me and help me begin again and again and again? And you know what I love about when we study Jesus' followers? They all made mistakes. Paul was the one who was trying to persecute and put the church to death. And he was one that was used mightily by God. Peter was the one who denied Jesus. I don't even know him. And he was used by God. So I want you to hear what I'm saying today in this. And Pastor Kevin, if you'll come, if you've never accepted Jesus, you've got to do that. And you've got to be honest with who you are and where you are, and you will be amazed at what God can actually speak to you.
Amen. Amen. There we go. Thank you, Pastor Jim. Great point. Guys, building our lives on the Word, you've got to know Jesus, right? You've got to get in the Word. Here's the second point. But before I say that, it's October 4th today, right? Correct? We verified that? Does anyone know what yesterday was? Oh, that's true. The Razorbacks won. Yeah, baby. Now, you guys care a lot more about that than what I'm going to say. But yesterday, October 3rd, are you ready, was National Kevin Day. Come on. Now, I only found out about this because a family relative of mine sent me a text and said, it is National Kevin Day. I looked this up and verified that yesterday was National Hug a Kevin Day. So anyone who would like to hug me, Kevin, I think the only Kevin in the room, after service because you didn't get a chance yesterday, I'll let you do that, okay? Uh-oh, no, I shouldn't have said it. I knew this. Thank you. I feel loved and hugged. But here's point number two, all right? Point number two is God's word must be approached with humility. Okay, yesterday was all about me, but I can't approach God's word like that, right? I just can't do that. I can't approach it if it's all about me. And I want to share a little story from the Bible here. In Matthew chapter 20, here's what Jesus says, okay? He's with his disciples, and he says, okay, Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, and on the way, he took the 12 aside, and he said to them, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. And on the third day, he will be raised to life. This is what he takes his disciples over to tell him. And what happens next? Okay, James and John, otherwise known as the Sons of Thunder. Remember those guys? And their mother thought that this would be an appropriate time to ask God for a personal favor. Oh, like for a day off of work? Like that? Oh, like, Jesus, can you heal my sore shoulder? Something like that? No. They ask if they could sit at Jesus' right and at his left in his coming kingdom. Okay, that's like bad timing, okay? Jesus just said he was going to die and raise to life, and James and John want to reserve seats next to him in his kingdom. And someone said, that's a bit like asking, can I have your car when you've just told me you only have a week to live? It's kind of like that. There was another time when Jesus was, he wasn't welcomed into a certain place. You remember that story with James and John? And they blurted out, hey, should we call down fire on them and destroy them? And Jesus rebuked them for that. Now, these guys were like aggressive guys, you know, these fishermen. They were rugged dudes. They weren't like refined and sophisticated. But these guys had to learn. They had to learn to approach Jesus in humility. And what they approached Jesus for was very prideful. They were looking for high positions in Jesus' new administration, okay? They were looking for special status in God's kingdom, which was for their benefit. You know, they would get power out of this, prestige out of this, and they would get proximity to Jesus out of this. This really made all the other disciples kind of jealous that they asked that question. But here's what Jesus says in response. He says, James, John, you don't know what you're even asking for. See, they thought they had it all figured out. And you can't approach the Bible like that, as if you've got it all figured out and it's just to supplement your glory and your life and that you already know it all. He said, you don't even know what you're asking for. And he says, James and John, can you drink the cup that I am about to drink? Can you do that? And you know what they say? Yeah, we can do it. Jesus says, indeed you will. Indeed you will, but I can't grant your request. I cannot grant that request about sitting at my right and left. He goes on to say this. He says, instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life for a ransom for many. And you guys know what happens when Jesus did in fact die. The night he was in fact arrested, he was abandoned by these same men. Right? Yeah, I can drink the cup. They abandon him. But let me take you way further ahead, and here's how it all turns out. James became the first apostle to be martyred for Jesus. But he died first. You know what happened to John? He died last. John was the only apostle to not die through martyrdom. And he would go on to write the book of John that we are so much enjoying right now in our Bible studies, aren't we? He went on to do that. You know, James had to be ready to die first. John had to be ready to go preach the gospel, write the gospel, and live the gospel through much persecution longer than any of the other apostles. And neither of them, when they asked that question, could have understood what they would be called to do. And they were just asking for a favor. But eventually they both learned, and they learned in different ways through different circumstances. We must approach God with great humility. The people who got it in the Bible, the people who got God's word, were people who were humbled by it. Because a humble heart can be instructed. Zach, why don't you come on up? I'm going to read one more scripture while Pastor Zach's coming. Psalm 25, 8 and 9 says this. It says, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. Listen, sinners, not perfect people, humble people. Bring that attitude to the word and it will go far. Amen? Amen. Pastor Zach, take it away.
All right. Hey. Yeah, you can. Yeah, stand next to me if you want. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, I want to close this out today, but I want to recap where we've been. Pastor Jim mentioned two things. He said the first thing is we must start or begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. God illuminating Scripture and the Holy Spirit showing us that stuff doesn't happen unless we start that relationship. The second thing he mentioned is that we have to just get the junk out of our mind, out of our hearts, out of our lives. And God does that. I mean, he works through us. It's a process that we kind of go through as Christians, is continually getting that out of our lives. But that's something God helps us. And then Kevin, National Kevin Day, mentioned to have a humble attitude and to take the time necessary, to take the time that is needed. And here's our fourth point for today. I commit in advance to do what God says. And I'm going to just pause on that for just a second. I commit in advance to do what God says. Pastor Jim, over the last couple of weeks, has mentioned multiple times there are parts of Scripture that kind of rub him wrong a little. You know, like he's just like, I don't really agree with that. And I think a lot of us have read parts of Scripture and we're like, I don't understand why God did that. That doesn't fit my worldview. That doesn't fit how I want to live. Why did he use that? Why not this? I don't understand. I don't necessarily get it. Okay. The Bible doesn't tell us that we have to understand. It doesn't tell us that we even have to agree with it. But we have to commit in advance to do what it says. Or what happens is we've followed the first kind of three steps we've talked about this morning. We come to a passage that we just don't really like. And because we have not committed in advance, we say, I think I'm going to pass on that one. And then we come to the next one, and I think I'm going to pass on that one. And we begin to do that with Scripture. Obedience to God's word doesn't require us to understand. It requires us to follow. Follow and listen and do what it says. I was thinking about this. I have a 2.5-year-old at home. I will soon in 15 days have a baby girl here. But all of us, I've been kids, or you have kids, and you tell your child what to do, they will say one word as the answer. What is that? Why? Why? Or no. I like that one. I like that one better. No. Yeah, that's really my son. He just says no and runs away. But they say why, and then as parents, we give a 4-word response. Because I said so. And I think for a lot of us, the reason we do that is because our knowledge is so much greater than our children. Now imagine how much greater God's knowledge is than ours. And so God says, hey, do this. And we say, why? And God says, well, because I said so. And I think it's one of those things that we just trust and we have the faith that he knows what he's doing. And his word is so much higher and his thoughts so much higher than what we could ever get. We just say, God, help us understand this. I love what Psalm 119:33 says. It says, teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees, then I will keep them. Teach me, O Lord. God, I don't understand. God, I'm helping to agree with this. God, I'm struggling with this, but Lord, help me. And that's what Pastor Kevin mentioned is a humble spirit. God, I don't get this, but will you illuminate this for me? God, will you help me to understand this? Will you teach me this? I want to read, this is a comment, and I won't say who it's from, not that it matters, but this is a comment from our Bible study that we're doing as a church. And this is what this person wrote a couple days ago. It says that God uses illustrations so that we can have a better idea of what his word says, yet we still don't get it because we are so attached to materialistic realm and things when God is spirit and truth. And this is what he says, God, open the eyes of my heart, my spiritual eyes, so I can see what is in the spiritual realm, the things of your kingdom. So someone in our church wrote probably 2 or 3 days ago. And that's our prayer this morning, is that God will open our eyes, open our mind to what his word is saying. And for us, we have to commit to follow whatever he shows us. One final scripture for you guys is James chapter 1, verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. I mean, James is so simple, right? I love the book of James because you don't really, there's not a lot to get. I mean, it's right there for you. Don't just look at it. Do it. And James talks about that in his book. He says, you talk about your faith, and I will show you my faith, right? I will show you what God is doing. Don't just listen to the word, but do what it says. You know, today we talked about, hey, let's start a relationship with Jesus. Let's remove the junk from our lives, and let's humble ourselves. And the final thing we have to do for God, I mean, because God's trying to show us stuff, and we have so much going on, we're kind of blocking that out. The last thing for us is just to say, God, I commit to follow. Even if I don't understand, even if I don't like what I read, God, I trust you, I love you, and I commit to follow what your word says. I want to go ahead and invite the band to come back up, and they're going to just start playing a little bit behind me. But I want to pray with you guys today, and we're going to kind of say kind of two different prayers here. If you're online, if you're here in the sanctuary, go ahead and just bow your heads, close your eyes. And for this first prayer, I'm going to ask anybody in this room, you're someone that we're talking about this today, and it talks about starting a relationship with Jesus, and you've not done that. I just want you quietly in your mind to pray this with me. If you're someone that's already following Jesus, I want you to pray for these people as we pray. And say, Jesus Christ, open my life to you. God, I need to be born again. God, I need to be spiritually renewed. God, I need to be saved. God, I've known about you, but I've never put you first. I've never had you be the center of my life. God, I'm doing that right now. I'm asking you in. God, I'm inviting you in. I'm accepting your grace. Thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for your forgiveness for the wrongs that I have done. I want to follow you and learn from your scripture. Now, for all of us, you guys just quietly pray this with me in your mind. God, I ask you to open my eyes. God, open my heart. God, help me see the solutions to the problems that I may have, and they're right in front of me, God. You are the solution. God, open my eyes to see the barriers that are holding back the progress, even if that barrier is me. Open my eyes, Lord, to see the people that maybe are attacking me or coming at me or whatever it may be. God, you've got that figured out. God, you're going to defend me. I don't need to. God, I trust you. Lord, in loss and grief and confusion and in a hard time right now in our world, God, God, open my eyes to see that through all of this, you're still moving. You're still with me. God, you've been right there all along, even if I couldn't see it. God, I ask you to open my eyes, open my heart. God, that I may see the wonderful things in your law, in your scripture, in your word. I want to come every day to your word with a humble attitude. I don't want to trust in my understanding, but I want to trust in yours and acknowledge you. God, I ask you to clean out my heart, clean out the junk that's in my mind, Lord, so that I can hear what you are saying. God, I want to be in the light. Illuminate these things, Lord. I no longer want to be in the dark. I want to know where I'm going. I want to follow your word. So, Lord, I'm telling you right now, in advance, I will do whatever you tell me to do. I will do what your word asks of me because I trust you and because I love you. Lord, like James says, I don't want to merely listen to the word. I want to do what it says. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let's worship together.